you. Glory to God, I know whom I have believed. I know, folks. Father, in Jesus' name, help me with this message tonight, Lord. In my soul, Father, I feel that it's very important. I pray, Lord, that you could use it now for the glory of God. Our Heavenly Father, use it as an instructive message, but also, Heavenly Father, use it to inspire and move the soul and heart of the people. In thy name we pray. Amen. Let me say something before I get into the message tonight. A few minutes ago, I was watching a lady interview a man on one of the Christian, quote-unquote, Christian television stations. The man was sodomite, and yet he said he was a Christian. And apparently, by the way the interview was going, she embraced it. She said, that's okay, you can be a sodomite just as long as you're not lustful and this and that and blah, blah, and so forth and so on. So what's happening, and it's happening very quickly, is that the very principles of the things that you believe and hold dear are being assaulted. So what that means is this, that terms that meant something 10 years ago or even 5 years ago don't mean anything anymore. So what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean this. I mean that you must discern the spirits. You must absolutely deal when dealing with people or with a church or with anything, put it to the acid test. If somebody says that they're gay, that's a meaningless term. That doesn't mean anything. The word gay is as irrelevant as it. That doesn't mean a thing, friend. They're sodomites. And the Scripture condemns sodomy from cover to cover. Man shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination. Romans 1, men leaving the woman for the natural use and turning to men, doing that which is unseemly or unnatural, and receiving in their body that recompense of their error, which was meat. One of the things that God condemns in the book of Ephesians is the effeminate that has to do with a sodomite, homosexual. The word homosexual is a clinical term. That's really a meaningless term, too. Homosexual means of the same sex, homolos. Homolos, of the same sex. The scriptural term is sodomite. The term sodomite means to burn with lust. That's what the term means. So therefore, that's what it refers to. So when people today say they know God, they pray, they worship, they go to church and all these things, that doesn't mean anything anymore. If you're going to be having any kind of a spirit of discernment, you're going to have to arm yourself with that kind of mind. You're going to have to be tough-minded when it comes to these things. Because people are going to try to convince you that any way you want to live is okay, just as long as you mean well in your heart. So I'm trying to warn you tonight. I'm trying to prepare you. This is what's happening, and it's sweeping the country. The only thing the churches today are interested in are numbers, and the way they do it is with a feel-good religion. And so they fill the houses with people that feel good, whatever it takes to make them feel good. I want to talk about the people of God tonight. In the book of Acts chapter number 20 and verse 7, it says this. These are the characteristics of God's people. Acts chapter number 20, verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to part on the morrow, continued his speech until midnight. If you'll notice, they're called disciples. A disciple is someone who is a learner. They're a follower. And it's not a learner of the church, and it's not a learner of a religion or a follower of a religion. It's a follower of a person. It's a learner. It's someone who is engaged in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the disciple is about. And we are disciples. And we were disciples before we were called Christians. And the world called us Christians. But the Scripture plainly says that the disciples, referring to us, believers, I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a learner. I want to know more about Him. And that's what my life is about. It's about the Son of God. He is also the acid test. Because there are those who say they love Him. There are those who say they believe in Him. There are those who say that He's great, He's wonderful, they worship Him and this and that. But the bottom line is, if you don't have the Son, I don't care how much you talk about Him, you're not born again. The acid test is, do you have the Son? You may say you're a follower of Christ, that you follow His teachings. You may say you're a follower of Christ and you follow His example. You may say you're a follower of Christ and you follow the fact that He is here on the earth. Now He's ascended to heaven, so you're going to ascend. You're going to go where He is. Friend, that's not a follower of Christ. A follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a disciple of the Lord, is one who has Him. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You say, well, how do you know He's in you? I know He's in me. How many from that do I need to tell you you're breathing? Do I need to tell you you're alive? Well, you say, preacher, you can tell me I'm not alive all you want. That's exactly right. Because if you're alive, you're alive. If Christ is in me, He's in me. And I don't care what anybody's church says. He came in me in 1973. Therefore, I am a disciple. In John chapter number 11 and verse number 52, I get greatly upset when I see such an affront. I mean an assault against everything that is so pure, so pure. For a church to embrace sodomy, friend, you have hit the bottom. You've hit the bottom. You are on the bottom. John chapter number 11 and verse number 52. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. If you're God, if you are the people of God, you are a child of God. That means that you are not part of the brotherhood of man. I'm not. I don't identify with the world. I don't identify with its movements, however high sounding and moral they may be. I identify with God my Father. The Lord said in John 8:44, referring to the Pharisee of his day, he said, you are of your father, the devil. And they are of their father, the devil. They're still of their father, the devil. Even if they say Jesus, and if they go to church, and if they have big buildings and big religion, they're still of the devil. They can sound holy and pious. This is the age of deception. The greatest deception there ever has been has settled in on the church. It really has. Now, friend, 20 years ago, a so-called Christian television station would never have allowed that. No. It would not have allowed it. I don't think it would have allowed it 10 years ago. I don't think it would have allowed it 5 years ago. Now it's there. Watch what I'm saying. Be warned. Christian TV, Christian television, you better watch it. Because everything under the sun now will pose as, and I'm not up here blanketly condemning all of the networks and everybody that's trying to have a Christian television station. We're on some. But I'm telling you this, you better watch very carefully and you better discern the spirits. Children of God. I lived 27 years as a child of hell. I know the burning. I know the desires. I know the temptations. I know the wildness. I know the stupidity. I know all of it. I know it, friend. You can't tell me anything about it. I know 27 years of that. And then I know when it left me. And I know how I changed. And the change was just like that. That was the new birth. Just like that. I became a child of God. I became a child of God. Has that ever happened to you? Or has somebody sprinkled a little water over your head and confirmed you into a church and had you read off a few things and you say, well, I believe this. I believe Christ is the Son of God. I believe in the deity of Christ. I believe in this. I believe in the virgin birth, the blood atonement. I believe this. I believe that. I confess the apostolic confession. We believe all this stuff. Name it all off. And then somebody shakes something over your head and say, well, now you're confirmed as a believer in Jesus Christ. That's garbage. That's garbage. And Baptists have paid for that with their lives. By rejecting that kind of garbage. No man pronounces you a Christian. No man pronounces you. No man has the authority to do that. And no man can stop you from being a Christian. You can be a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ by accepting Him. Amen. And folks, you either have Him or you don't. In the book of John, chapter number 10, verse number 16. He says this. Now, note carefully the way he does this. John 10, 16. He said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, Ephesians chapter number 4 says there is one faith, one Lord, one God, one baptism. Just one. And so, which one is it, preacher? It's the one you're born into. You have to be born into it. It's a very exclusive thing. There's no other way to get in. Can't buy your way in. You can't talk your way in. You have to be born into it. You see, his sheep know his voice. They know the Master's voice. You may get sidetracked a while, but if you really know the Master's voice, you'll hear His voice when He speaks to you. And there's no telling how dark the darkness can become. I read a story the other day of a girl that got into pornography. And that's bad, friend. I mean, the video stuff. Got into it. And then one day, while filming, a voice spoke to her and said, "You're not supposed to be here." And it was the voice of the one she knew as a little girl when she grew up in church. That voice spoke to her and she began to cry and she wept and busted out in tears. I can just imagine what that crowd thought. She was out of place. She got on her face and got right with God and repented of the hell she was in and came back to the Lord. And now she is flat on fire for God. Boy, I mean, she's writing and doing anything she can to try to help somebody that can get in a mess like that. She was in video pornography. But she came out of it. "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not hear." I was listening to someone give a testimony the other day, and they were talking about they were in a place. They were in some kind of a place, and I forget exactly where it was. Something was going on, and they knew they should not be there. They knew they shouldn't. Apparently, they were backslidden, cold on God, and they heard the voice of God. And that girl heard God's voice. And she says, "Don't you hear that?" And the one she was with says, "I don't hear anything." But she did. The one she was with didn't hear anything because he didn't know the Lord. And the Holy Spirit did not speak to him. But the Holy Spirit spoke to her. She heard the voice. And she answered him. And she came out of it. God has His way. For I don't care how far you run, how I don't care where you go. It doesn't make any difference. You're not going to get away from Him. If you ever one time know Him, you'll always know Him. In Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 7, Romans 1, 7, this is a powerful statement. "To all that be in Rome," one of the most godless hell holes that ever existed. You got the church at Rome was one powerful church. "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Called to be saints. Notice that. Religion has taken the word saint and put it in an entirely different light than Scripture. Completely different. The Greek word hagios is translated saint here. Hagios. Now that word hagios can be translated a number of different ways. One of the most common ways that the word hagios is translated throughout the New Testament is holy. Holy. You know the church in Istanbul, Turkey, or Byzantium, or what was it called before that? It was Byzantium, Istanbul, and I forget now. There's three names too. But anyway, there's a church over there in the middle of it. It's called Hagia Sophia. It's a huge church. It's a Muslim mosque now. But it was the eastern branch of the Roman Catholic Church at one time. It was the eastern branch. And it fell to the Ottoman Empire and was under the Ottoman Empire for hundreds and hundreds of years until World War I, when the power of the Ottoman Empire was broken. The church is named Constantine. That's what it was. Byzantium, Constantine, and Istanbul. The church is named Hagia Sophia. Hagios means holy. Sophia means wisdom. So the church is the church of the holy wisdom. That's what its name means. Here the word hagios is translated saint. What does the word holy really mean? What is really the meaning of the word holy? What? Separate. 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 Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So when the New Testament uses the term saint, it is simply saying you are separate from the world. You are different from them. Now, nowhere in the New Testament, absolutely nowhere, nowhere. Try to find it. There is no place in the New Testament where a so-called church sets aside certain people and makes them saints. That doesn't exist. Every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has been set apart and given the term saints. Not saint in the sense that they put a halo around their head, you know, and they're sinless, and they're somehow or another they're just one little step below an angel. That's the world's view of a saint, right? But that has nothing to do with the Bible. In the term in the Bible for a saint is one who's set apart, separated unto God from the world. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Him. He owns us. See? If you really get to get the Bible view of who you are and where you belong in the world, it changes your perspective on things. I don't belong to the government. I don't belong to the state of Tennessee. I don't belong to the Baptist. I don't belong to my company. If I worked for a company, I don't belong for them. Belong to them, although a lot of companies would have you think you do. I belong to Him. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He owns me, lock, stock, and barrel. Now, there was a trade-off that took place. I got Him and He got me. Guess who got the best end of the deal? Amen. I'd take that deal any day of the week. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 5. 1 Peter 2, 5. The saints are the children of God. 1 Peter 2, 5. Are lively stones and to be built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So that goes against nature. There's no living stone. Have you ever had a stone alive in your hands? There's no such thing as that. Yet the Bible says we're living stones. Where does a stone come from? It comes out of the ground. All right. A stone is used as a marker. A stone is used as a barrier. A stone is used as weights. Stones can be used for a lot of different things. I did at one time pass in front of the largest stone in the world. The single monolith, the single largest monolith in the world is that one in Australia, out in the outback. But this is the Rock of Gibraltar, the strait that separates Europe from Africa. How many know where I'm talking about? You enter into the Mediterranean Sea, all right? You can't miss the Rock of Gibraltar, believe me. And you can't miss that stone out there in the outback in Australia. I wish I could think of the name of that thing. I was looking at it the other day. Just one huge stone that rises right up off the floor of the desert. And there it is. There it is. A huge thing. There it sits. There's no other stone on the face of the earth like it. All right? As lively stones. How does a stone have life? It goes against nature. So does the church. What you are tonight is against nature. You're against the nature of the world. You're against the source of life of the world. You are literally against everything that makes sense to the world. This is why the church is an enigma, wrapped up in a riddle and put away in a mystery. That's what we are. We'll never make sense to the world. The world never can figure us out. We're fools for Christ. We're aliens, pilgrims and strangers. That's what we are. We've always been that way. I identify with my brothers and sisters. And when I say my brothers and sisters, I've got a bunch of them going back for 2,000 years. I got a big family, folks. One day I'm going to gather up there and gather around me is going to be all my brothers and all my sisters. And I'm going to think to myself, man, I have a family and a half. As far as I can see are my brothers, and as far as I can see are my sisters, and they're by the millions and millions and millions. I don't know anybody's got a family like that. Amen. That's my family. We're living stones. In plain words, we are something that God creates and gives life to that could no way could it have life. And this is what I truly, so truly believe, that when the church gets away from the fact that the presence of the Lord brings life, it gets into ritualism, it gets into looking at each other. Folks, every time we meet in this house, we should expect the Lord to meet with us. It's the habitation of God through the Spirit. And when He meets with us, He'll fire your soul up like nothing else will. Nothing. I read an article yesterday about a three-year-old boy that drowned in Germany. How many of you read that article? Anybody else read it? 3 years old, he drowned. I don't know how long he'd been in the water. They pulled his little body out and began to resuscitate him. They worked, and they worked, and they worked, and they worked. Hours later, his heart started beating again. That's unbelievable, right? Immediately you say, this can't happen. So did the doctor. The doctor said, I have been a physician for 30 years. I have never seen anything like this happen. It's just blow your mind. How could it be? But that's not what blows your mind. When he came to, he said, I just saw my great-grandmother. And he said, Mummy? He called her Mummy. He said, Mummy? He said, where are you? And she called him by his name. And she says, I'm in heaven. She said, but it's not time for you to come yet. So I'll wait for you. You need to go back. Your work's not done. And so this story was printed in the UK, United Kingdom. Okay? The UK, if you don't know this or not, most of the churches are closed in the United Kingdom. As a matter of fact, most of the churches in Europe are closed. Okay? So they print this story about this little boy, three years old. Okay? I always like to do this. I like to look below the story and see the comments. I'd like to see what they say. You'd be amazed. One infidel up in Scotland said, lies, lies, lies. He's an agnostic or an atheist. Here's this kid seeing his great-grandmother. He's been gone, and he comes back to life after all these. Well, that blows away all of his agnosticism and atheism. He can't handle that. So he has to just swipe it away and says, it's nothing but a pack of lies. And all kinds of attacks. One attack after another attack. Instead of just believe what the kid said. A few of them did. A few of them did. You see, your nature is that you're an unbeliever. If you just go naturally, you're not going to believe, okay? That's the natural person. He's an unbeliever. It takes the presence and power of God to create belief in you. This is why the presence and power of God is so important in a church. Because when the presence and power of God is manifested in a church, faith comes into being, life from faith, and miracles are performed. Amen. You go to church and they're all doubters and agnostics in that church. Oh, there's a God somewhere upstairs. Don't worry about any miracles. You're not going to have any. Don't worry about it. But you go into a church where they're hungry for God and they welcome His presence. And the Holy Ghost comes into that place. And the Holy Ghost comes into that house. And when the Holy Ghost comes in there, He comes and brings faith when He comes. And the power and presence of God is all it takes to produce faith. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the what? Word. And the Word is inseparable from the Almighty. Faith comes from the Word. Faith comes from God. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave Himself for me. You see that two ways. My faith in Him, but my faith given to me from Him. It has a dual application. So, you're not going to conjure up. You're not going to produce. Somebody said, if you could just pull up and just believe. Well, don't you just take hold of God and stretch out before Him and open your heart up to Him and say, Lord God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Touch me in my soul and in my spirit. And let His Spirit touch you and let the Holy Ghost fill you. And when He fills you, He'll fill you with faith. And when He fills you with faith, the hand of God, miracles from God, will ultimately and imminently come. And they will. And this is what we are talking about here tonight. Hallelujah. Lively stones. Boy, I've seen a bunch of dead stones. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter number 12 and verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. All right. Now there's one part of that body you absolutely have to have. You can get along without a toe. I'm happy just being a heel, amen. Wouldn't bother me if I was an ankle bone. As long as I know I'm a member of the body of Christ, amen. Amen. Serious, boy. I'm serious as I could be. If I was an elbow, I'd be happy. But you lose the head and you're finished. This is why when the great men pass on, we still go on. Have you noticed how the church of God just keeps right on going on? Even when it loses its great men? But if it ever loses its great God, the church is finished. Amen. No man is great but except God lay his hand upon him. The glory should always go to God. If God's ever done anything in our miserable lives and ever glorified himself in what he's done with our little old fleeting life, our little passing moment, our little vapor of a life on this earth, who do you think ought to get the glory? You know, God. God. We're members of the same body. And then finally in Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 2. Revelation 21, verse 2. I like to read verse 1. It says, I saw a new heaven, new earth. I'm looking for that one. I don't know how the evolutionist and the uniformitarianist, materialist and all the rest of them, I don't know how they'll handle that when there's a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know how they're going to handle it. Because when he says a new heaven and a new earth, let me just ask you a question right now. Let's say God tomorrow makes a new heaven and a new earth, all right? All of a sudden, this one is gone. There's a new heaven and a new earth, all right? Let's say that new earth has rocks on it. It has water flowing through rivers. It has elements in it, you know, that like this one has, similar to it. We do know there's trees that are planted by the river of life, okay? All right, let's say we do a carbon 14 testing on those elements. How old do you think they'd be? Are you following me? It's very possible that he could create a new heaven and a new earth, and they could do a carbon 14 half-life on it, whatever they call that deal, and they'd say to themselves, man, this thing looks like it's 50,000 years old. Yet it just came into existence. It just came into being. You see what I mean? In other words, when he created this universe, this heaven and this earth, he created it. It came into being from nothing. I believe that. I believe Genesis. But there's no reason in the world to believe that when he brought it into existence, he could have easily brought it into existence as it appeared to have age. See? Absolutely. So the Bible says this science, falsely so called, is exactly what it is. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You say, how old is the earth and all the rest of it? Well, according to the Bible, I got 6,000 years in Scripture. That's good enough for me, as far back as I can go. That's when he put the man here, 6,000 years ago. And I don't know how long the earth could have been here before the first man was put here. If it was here for any length of time before the first man was put here, it had no meaning. Because the earth only has meaning as it relates to man. And the Bible says that earth is his footstool. And earth is where God Almighty is going to work out this, settle this issue of sin and salvation. He will not let it escape into the universe. He'll keep it confined right here to planet earth. He'll keep it right here. Why would you want to go out here anyway and colonize Mars and colonize Venus and colonize something else and carry all of your corruption with you? Amen? That's the truth. It'll only be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's what he says. There'll be no sin. There'll be no corruption. When he makes that new heaven and that new earth, it'll be perfect. It'll be pure. It'll be clean. I long for that day. Won't be any more nuts walking into a hospital shooting three people and one of them dying. You know, that hospital's a gun-free zone. You can't carry a gun into that hospital. Did you know that? They've got a sign right there on the door that says, you do not carry your firearms into this hospital. This killer broke the law by carrying his firearm into that hospital. There's some people hurting tonight. They're hurting tonight. You see, that's irony. The people who obeyed the law are dead. Killers don't obey law. There are tens of thousands of people right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, that are armed to the teeth. They're carrying weapons everywhere they go. Yet you don't see their picture on the evening news. They're not killing people. Killers kill people. when the liberals tried to scare people to death and tell them that when you gave people concealed carry and they said they could carry weapons, that they'd just go out and be like Dodge City and they'd start shooting each other, it didn't happen. You know why? Because the Bible says plainly, a murderer is not a murderer when you call him a murderer. He murders because he's a murderer. Because of what you are. You murder. This man was a murderer that went down there and shot that innocent woman to death. Now they're having her funeral. Then he turned the gun on himself. He's a murderer. The state of Arizona, the governor of the state of Arizona just signed into law just the other day a law that says if you live in the state of Arizona, you can carry a concealed weapon and you don't need a permit. That's Arizona. Do you know why they did that? Because the border with Mexico has been left wide open by the federal government. And they're coming across that border and they're killing people. They're killing people. And the police force is totally unable to take care of all, do that job to protect all the people. So they arm the people. I would guarantee you, ladies, you would be safer in Dodge City, Kansas, in 1860, walking down the street, than you would be in the south side of Chicago in 2010. How many believe me? You better believe it. And what happens is you come back to sense. You come back to your senses. You realize you don't make a killer out of a man because you give him a weapon. He's a killer because he's a killer in his heart. That's exactly right. So the final one is this one, Revelation 21, verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In verse number 9, Revelation 21, he says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, as far as I can see by studying the Scripture, the focus in the end time is on the bride. And the reason the focus is on the bride is because salvation comes through the bride. Salvation will come through the church. Second man, last Adam, when the Lord Jesus Christ marries his bride at the marriage supper of the Lamb, then the Son of God and the marriage of the bride and the bridegroom, when they come together, will produce all spiritual birth in the future. It'll all come from the bride. That's why men have been prepared for 6,000 years in this world to understand that simple truth. There is no birth outside of Christ. There is no new birth outside of Him. There is no salvation outside of Him. There's no future outside of Him. And the New Testament, the book of Revelation, it's about the bride and the bridegroom. Until you get there, you see how that heaven opens and judges the earth and the Antichrist and the religious system that sends the souls of men to hell. It says in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, that this Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, one of the things that Babylon the Great is guilty of is the blood, the souls of men. That's the saddest thing in the world, for somebody to grow up in a church and live in a church and die in a church where they trust that church with the salvation of their soul. It's a horrid thing for that church to think that it has power over the souls of men and it can dispense salvation. That's horrid. That's an abomination. The church does not dispense salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. And salvation is the free gift of God. The Baptist church did not get you saved, and the Baptist church had nothing to do with you being saved. That was the work of God. The purpose of the Baptist church here is to preach the gospel, to give you a place to come in fellowship, and a place for God to meet with His people. That's it. That's as far as it goes. But before the turn of the century, 100 years ago, folks, you had an awful lot of people out there preaching the truth. The church that Fanny Crosby belonged to, they preached the gospel. The old-fashioned Methodist preached the gospel. You'd be hard-pressed today in a lot of Methodist churches to hear the gospel, though. You'd be hard-pressed in a lot of Baptist churches to hear the gospel today. Hard-pressed. The Plymouth Brethren, 100 years ago, the Plymouth Brethren, preaching the Word of God. A long time ago, back in Germany, Jacob Amman, who started the Amish, and Menno Simons, who started the Mennonites, they all came from the same group like the Baptists. They believed in immersion of the believer. They believed in salvation by grace. The Waldensians believe the same thing. They believe the same thing that you believe when it comes to salvation by grace. Your brothers and sisters have gone back for 2,000 years, all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they might not have called themselves Baptist. They might not have been belonged to what you'd call a Baptist church. But they're born again. They're born again. I'm not a Baptist brider. I'm the first furthest thing from it. I do not believe for one second that only the Baptist church is the bride of Christ. That's a heresy. That's a bunch of garbage. My goodness, folks. I've studied too many people down through the years, and I know they belong to the Lord, and I know they're born again. And so I'm thankful tonight for that. But it's about over. It's about finished. Not many left. Not many left. And the change is happening so quickly now. I don't know if you'll see this interview or not. I hope you do. It'd be good to wake you up. To see a woman sit there in the name of God and interview a sodomite and embrace it is beyond me. I had a young man write me a letter about 10, 15 years ago, and he was a sodomite. But he got saved, got right with God. And he told me about the sodomites in this town. They're no different from the sodomites in any other town. But he told me how they were driven, how they were possessed, what kind of lives they lived, what their life was about. So don't ever let anybody kid you that the gay lifestyle is just an acceptable alternative lifestyle. Somebody said this past Friday in the public school system here in Knoxville that they had gay day, something like that. Somebody mentioned that. Michelle Calfee, who's a school teacher, came up here on the stage Sunday morning, told me about it, said that they'd had gay day, something like gay day. In other words, they're trying to brainwash the kids in the school system that it's an acceptable alternative lifestyle. And they are brainwashing them. The kids are embracing it. Todd? Chad? Yeah. Okay. And so what was the premise what'd you call him, expelling him or whatever it was for a day or two? Because he offended them?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. What about Farragut High School when they put in their curriculum or in that biology book that the Bible is a myth? Is that not offensive? You see the double standard? See the way they flip and they flop? They're hypocrites. Pure and simple. That's pure hypocrisy. That's a double standard. If it's all about not offending anybody, then you better leave the Bible alone. You're going to offend hundreds of thousands of people. But anyway, I've in the last few days had some experiences with this kind of thing you're talking about right here. Blew my mind. And I'll tell you what, if your child is in the public school system, you better be very careful. Monitor them, watch them like a hawk. What they have to endure and what they're going to be subjected to. Zondervan? I thought it was a ministry. Be careful when somebody talks about a ministry to you, if a dollar bill's involved. Chad? Drugs? It's sad. I never had to deal with that. Thank God I didn't. I was done with high school in 1964. But I'll tell you right now, these kids today, it's horrible. Horrible. Yes?
Brother, it ain't all bad. My son's school, they only got saved during school hours. They had chapel on Friday. They baptized the child during school hours on Friday. And the Lord dictates how long chapel lasts. Not by what classes they have to go.
What school are you talking about, brother?
Apostolic Christian School.
Well, okay, yeah. That's not the public school, though. That's Brother McCool over there and those folks. That's different.
Still, I mean, even they don't even, they're accredited to the rest of the school systems set up on the Knoxville deal. But just like, you know, when Obama, all the schools to listen to him speak to the second graders, they wasn't about to turn it on.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah,
God bless them. They're not stupid. No, they don't hear it. No, those people don't hear that. All right. You know, we've had a little miracle take place this past week. Little Rebecca Kate had to go back to the hospital. Her temperature dropped down to about 95, and that's real low. And she's just a little old thing, man. I mean, she can't tolerate any kind of change. Weighed 4 pounds and something when she was born. About this big. So I went in there yesterday. That's when I found out about it. I went to the hospital yesterday. And Cindy was real upset about it. And I could understand why. And they had her in some kind of a little thing that's kind of like isolated. And the nurses were working over her. And I prayed with her and prayed for Rebecca while I was there. And came home. And then I got a phone call or an email that said that they thought she might be having seizures. I wanted me to pray for her, so I started praying. I prayed all day long for that little old girl, and all day, and called back that evening. I couldn't get anybody, so this morning I went back over there, and when I went in the hospital room this morning, Cindy had completely changed, and Rebecca was doing so much better. Her temperature was up now. She's eating, and she was using the bathroom where she hadn't been before. And she's so apparently right now she's made a complete turnaround, and her mama's happy with her. And she said about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, she could see a change. I like to hear people say that. Said about 1 o'clock they got it on up. Somebody was praying for that little baby yesterday at 1 o'clock, and I know that email went out. When did you send your email out? I know it, and. But it takes a while for it to get out to everybody and for them to even read it. And I know they started praying. And at 1 o'clock, she said, Rebecca changed. So I thought I'd tell you about that tonight. That's good news. Amen. 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 4 pounds and something. Exactly, brother.
That's it.
Exactly.